I ask you for our second scripture reading to turn to John chapter 7. Yes, John chapter 7. Not 8 yet, but we'll be getting to 8:12. First, we're going to read in preparation for that, John chapter 7, and reading verses 37 to 52. And then jump over to John 8:12. It's beginning at John chapter 7 and verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Therefore many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, "Truly this is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem, where David was?" So there was a division among the people because of him. Now some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him. Then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, "Why have you not brought him?" The officers asked, "No man ever spoke like this man." Then the Pharisees answered them, "Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed." Nicodemus, he who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, "Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing?" They answered and said to him, "Are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee." And everyone went to his own house. Now jumping down to John chapter 8 and verse 12, which is our text for tonight. John 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Let's pray. Father, as we hear the rain coming down, we do thank you for your blessings. We pray that you'd give us showers of blessing, Father. Pour out your blessings upon us by the Holy Spirit, upon your people. We're here tonight to be blessed. Father, bless us and help us. And we pray for your glory. We pray we would see the glory of Christ once again. And we thank you and praise you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the blessings, great blessings that I've been having is studying through these I Am's of John. And my sister Lori suggested it, and I took it up, and I've been truly blessed. And this is for the Gospel of John, there's 7 I Am's. And in the Gospel of John, one pastor I was listening to said they run like a backbone through the Gospel of John, the 7 I Am's of Jesus running through. It's a theme about Christ and his glory and his deity, that he's fully and truly God. And we see this in that statement of I Am, and that he makes over and over again, not only here in the exact I Am's of John, but he also says it in other places. In John 18, at the end of his ministry, when he's about to be arrested, this is probably one of the more dramatic uses of that in the Gospel of John and by the Lord Jesus himself. Jesus, therefore, knowing that all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" And they answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am." And in our translation, it adds in italics, "he." But in the literal, it is "I am." And guess what happened? And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, "I am," guess what happened? They drew back and fell to the ground. that statement of his deity, that statement of taking the divine name, it caused them to literally fall to the ground, fall back and fall to the ground just by him making that statement. He didn't draw a sword. He didn't do anything but said, declared, I am. And he says, then it goes on, and he again answers and said, I have told you that I am. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, speaking of his disciples. And they did. It was a fulfillment of prophecy. But Jesus is taking that divine name, I am that I am, that goes all the way back to Exodus. Exodus 3 and verse 14 and 15, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So Moses there and with the burn at the sight of the burning bush, it's Christ there who's speaking. Christ is the word of God. He speaks and he declares who he is, the great I am. So seven I ams of John, even in chapter 8, we run into more of them, not only here, I am the light of the world, but in verse 24, therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am. You will die in your sins. That's how serious it is to believe the true Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible in all his glory as fully God and fully man. Somebody who does not believe in the Jesus of the Bible is going to be lost and dead in their sins because there's no salvation apart from this Jesus, not Jesus that we make up or any other Jesus, but the true Jesus Christ. Verse 28, then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Then down to the last one there in John 8, in verse 58 or 57, then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, and he uses that name, I am. So he's declaring who he is, the God of very God, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is exciting. Hope you're exciting. And here he identifies himself in John 8, 12. I am the light of the world. I'm going to look at the statement, what it means, and the promise that ensues after he declares that he who follows me shall not walk in darkness but have light of life. It's a declaration of who he is, and it tells us how people come to him, how they believe on him, how they follow him. And then it gives the promise for all those who do that have a special promise given to them that they're not going to walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And the light of life is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Three things in the scripture that God is, tells us that God is. Just take a moment and think about the scriptures that declare not what God is like or what he does, but three things alone where it actually makes a statement, God is this. It's different than God is like or, you know. You think about one? I'll tell you, but just think about it for a minute. First one is in John 4:24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So God, we're told in Scripture, God is spirit. It means he doesn't have a body like men. He's spirit. So God is spirit. And the next one is in 1 John 4:8. This one should be an easy one. 1 John 4:8. God is love. That's an easy one. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. 1 John 1:5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light. God is spirit. God is love. God is light. And here, and in him, is no darkness at all. And here, we're faced with this one, this man, the man Christ Jesus, who is fully God, declares, I am the light of the world. He's declaring who he is, the creator, the sustainer of the universe, the great I am, the Lord Jesus Christ, full deity. We read in back in Genesis chapter 1, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and all darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, and when God says, it's that logos, it's the Word of God, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Then God said, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. The Word of God brought things into existence and light out of darkness, total darkness. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ always does. He dispels the darkness, especially the darkness of the soul, the spiritual darkness that we're all born into. We're all born in spiritual darkness by nature. All the world, the whole world is in darkness, in the darkness of spiritual blindness. And it's a self-imposed blindness. It's not like we're forced to be blind. We are blind and we have our hands over our eyes, covering the light that's shining in this world. Christ is the light of the world, and we hide ourselves in the darkness. Darkness of sin, spiritually dark, dead in trespasses and sin. And not only that, we walk in that darkness. We do the deeds which are natural to us. We sin. We do the deeds of darkness, which are the deeds of sin. And that's the state of every single man. There's no exceptions. No one's born in the light. We are all born in the darkness until the light shines in our souls, as we read in 2 Corinthians. And in the first scripture reading, that what Christ does for sinners is he shines that light, the Holy Spirit in particular. For God, it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. It's the face of Christ, the glory of God in the face of Christ. It's a light shining, and it shines right into the heart, and it changes us. It changes us. It doesn't leave us the same when the light of Christ shines in us. Christ is the light of the world. Now, it says that he's the light of the world to the whole world. And there's a truth in that. But it's not the whole story. He is the light of the world, and the whole meaning the whole world. In what way is he the light of the whole world? Well, he's the creator of the whole world. Everybody is created. Nobody was uncreated. God made all things. And in that sense, Christ is the light of the world. He's the creator. And it says that in the Bible, in John chapter 1. John talks a lot about light in the Gospel of John, in 1 John, and in Revelation. It talks about this light. It talks a lot about Christ and him being light, and the light and the darkness. And we read right in the beginning of the Gospel of John in a prelude, what's called the prelude. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Or another translation is overcome it. But either way, it's true that Christ made everybody, and yet everyone, apart from the grace of God, the sovereign, powerful grace of God, is in darkness, is going to stay that way. And eventually, if we die in that state, we will be cast out into the outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth forever and ever. Outer darkness, darkness that is darker than dark, and with much suffering forever and ever. But the good news is that Christ delivers his people from that darkness. He said, I am the light of the world. And he defines that those who know that light and come to that light as though he who follows me. You see, the world doesn't follow Christ. They want nothing to do with Christ. But his people, his sheep hear his voice. I know them and they follow me, Jesus said. And I give them eternal life. So out of the world, Christ has a people given to him by the Father, whom he came from heaven to save. And part of that salvation was his laying down his life for his sheep. I give my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. No one took his life, but he laid it down on purpose for his sheep. And he is the light for those who come to him. You see, it's all synonymous. It's not different ways to Christ, whether it's coming to Christ, whether it's believing in him, it's following him. It's all the same idea. It's drinking, it's eating, it's coming to him, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and all put in these different ways, and yet all meaning the same thing. All meaning the same thing. And it's Christ alone who saves. Christ, there aren't many lights. There's many false lights in this world. You'll find an abundance of false doctrine, false teachers, antichrists in this world, but none of them are the true light. Christ alone. How precious is that? That we have the true light, the one who is the light of the world. And there, we may have been following these other lights, most certainly were, and to some degree. I know I was. You make your own lights if you don't have any lights to follow. You make up your own sparks and lights. But the end of that is destruction. But God rescued us and saved us. Christ alone does that. He shines a light into our hearts, as it says, the glory of Christ, and he comes in. So he's the creator of every man, and yet he's the savior of his elect, his people. He saves and he gives light and life, eternal life. He doesn't give life and light to the world, but he gives life and light to his people. That's why we will no longer walk in darkness. We now have the light switch has been turned on, right? Isn't that how that somebody said that? But it's a common experience that many Christians can testify. You were clueless, and it was almost like somebody flipped on a switch, and it suddenly that's the Holy Spirit that does that. As we read again in 2 Corinthians, the work of the Spirit, indispensable to our salvation. You see, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, purpose and plan from all eternity to save a people. God gives these people to the Son. Christ comes to do all that was necessary to save his people. And he did it, and it was finished, right? Complete. And yet, it needed to be applied. And the one who applies it, the applier of that redemption, is the Holy Spirit. And he does the work of regeneration and effectual calling and drawing us to Christ and giving us faith and repentance. Can't be saved unless we repent of our sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to him. We believe into him. We follow him. We come trusting him, taking his yoke upon us and learning from him. And it's the work of the Spirit, that indispensable work, that does that. That's how we're saved. And then Christ is the light of his people. Again, from the beginning, he was always the light that was going to be coming into this world. In Isaiah chapter 9, we see a dramatic verse in chapter 9, 1. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. That's prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ, which he takes on for himself in the Gospels and declares that in the temple, that speaking of that prophecy specifically was speaking of him. He is the light of the world, particularly, which was dramatic and new to the Jews, to the Gentiles. You see, they could have expect that, you know, God was going to do something by giving them light. And he did that in many types and shadows in the Old Testament. Think of the Exodus and think of the Passover and the darkness, that one of the plagues of darkness, and then the cloud, pillar of cloud that followed them, the light that followed them, and all those types of what God was going to do, types of Christ. So they would have expected it, but not to the Gentiles. No way was light, this light going to shine on the Gentiles, but it did. Isaiah 49:6, indeed, he says, is it too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribe of Jacob and to restore preserve the ones of Israel? I also give you as a light to the Gentiles that you should be my salvation, speaking of Christ, my salvation to the ends of the earth. Not longer just the Jew, but to the ends of the earth. And we see that fulfilled in our own time and for many years now, Isaiah 60, verse 1, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen on you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and a deep darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and their kings to the brightness of your rising. He rises like the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings." That's the Lord Jesus Christ. How is he the light to his people? He's our prophet. He brings light to our minds like the light switch. He brings any knowledge, any wisdom, any true knowledge of God, and not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge as well, a true knowing. There's no way to know God in truth apart from being taught of Christ. And it's the work of the Spirit. It's through the Word of Christ, the Word of God, where he brings us to new birth through the Word of God, and it's the work of the Spirit. But it's the Christ is the prophet of God. He was promised that God would send the prophet, not Moses, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the one who teaches his people, his sheep. We take his yoke upon us and learn from him, for he is meek and lowly, and we shall find rest for our souls. He's our priest, redeeming us with his own blood, and then ever living to intercede for us. And he's our king who rules and reigns us as we're in his kingdom. It's not the world that's in his kingdom, but we're in his kingdom, and he's the king. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords to us. He delivers us from darkness, from the darkness of sin, into his marvelous light. John 12, 35 and 36, Jesus said to them, "A little while longer the light is with you," speaking of himself. "Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. And he who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. John 12, 46, "I have come as a light into the world, and whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." That's what happens. We believe into the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're no longer in darkness. The light begins to dawn. And think how just beginning of the rising of the sun, there's just a glow on the horizon. And as it comes up, it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. And that kind of pictures the Christian life, right? We don't start off as adults. We start off as babes, and we begin to grow and learn of Christ little bit at a time, a little bit so slowly, until we begin to come. And we'll have that full, bright, glorious knowledge in heaven, in glory. Colossians 1, 12 and 13, "Give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Has delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us, transferred us, transformed us into the kingdom of his Son, the Son of his love." And so we walk with Christ. He delivers us, and we walk with him. We were freed from that darkness. We walk in the light. And as children of the light, it's important that we realize what that means. Christ teaches us, and we follow him. We follow after him. But it's a holy walk. It's a righteous walk. It's a walk that's different from those who are in darkness. If it's not, then it has no reality. If what we do and what we say things and do things and think and act is the same as those who are in darkness, does that make any sense? No. Obviously, no, it doesn't. Ephesians 5, 8 through 14 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." We get our light from him. We don't have our own light. We get our light from Christ, being in Christ. "Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of these things, those things which are done in secret, but all things are exposed and made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Give you light. Light to live. Light to walk. Light to guide us in our walk with him. Through his word, mainly the word, the guiding mechanism, the Holy Spirit uses the word of God. And what is the famous verse in Psalm 119, 105? "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And in clearly, that's how the Lord guides us in Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment of God, commandments of God is a lamp, and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So that's how Christ leads his sheep. We follow him. He leads us by light, by the light of his word. And apart from that word is darkness. Doesn't matter how brilliant the people are, how well-spoken they are, how powerful they are, how good-looking they are. They are in darkness. Unless they're in Christ, you're in darkness. And so for us to follow them, to be influenced by them, is just going to lead us down the wrong path. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, God's sovereign choice, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What an amazing thing the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Who would have believed? Who would have thought? We have no way of deserving any of it. And yet it just is mind-boggling. And yet, how quickly we forget that. I don't know about you, but I often don't walk as a child of light and as I should. Whenever we sin, we're being a contradiction to what we really are. And that's why it's good to remember what we really are, truly are, in the Lord. So what is this following of Christ? He's promised to give us life, the life of light of life, and to keep us from walking in darkness and have the light of life. But how are we to understand following Christ? And some people put this in another category. They make it like for special Christians. They're the ones that follow after Christ. It's nonsense. If you believe on Christ, you have to follow him. If you hear his voice, you will follow him. If you hear his voice, you're going to be, he's your shepherd, and you're going to follow after the shepherd. The sheep follow the good shepherd. And so we hear his voice. Others in the world do not. Ryle writes, to follow Christ is to commit ourselves wholly and entirely to him as our leader, as our Lord, a leader and Lord and Savior, and to submit ourselves to him in every matter. If we're keeping things, you know, well, I'll give Christ most of my life, but I'll keep this to myself, that's not good enough. It has to be in every matter, both in of doctrine, in other words, believing what he teaches, and in putting that into practice. That has to be the mindset. Following is only another word for believing. It is the same act of the soul, only seen from a different point of view. Israel followed the pillar of cloud and the fire in all their journey, moving whenever it moved, stopping whenever it tarried, asking no questions, marching on in faith. So must a man deal with Christ. He must follow the Lamb wherever he goes. It's from Revelation 14:4. These are the ones who are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. It's a characteristic of true Christians, true believers. We follow the Lamb. We follow after Christ. Jesus said that to his disciples in Matthew 4. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets, guess what, and followed him. And how about Levi, Matthew, we know him. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in a tax office. He said to him, follow me. Guess what? He arose and followed him. But do not believe in John 10:26. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. Most important thing. And they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. So the Lord Jesus Christ has his sheep, and they're identified as followers of the Lamb. We follow Christ and all that means. It's not a believing one time and then you go on and you do your own thing. It's not a repenting at one moment and then there's never any more repentance. It's an ongoing, ongoing thing. That's our salvation, is an ongoing believing, an ongoing repenting, an ongoing following, an ongoing continually coming to Christ. It's not one-time event that has no effect after that and has no implications after that. It's continuing. So we follow the Lamb in repentance and faith forever. And we don't give up halfway along the path. We continue to follow the Lamb. We may have falls and fits and starts and wanderings off the path, but at the end of the day, we are brought back by the Good Shepherd and we continue on. We persevere to the end by the grace of God. And again, much blessing in following the Lamb. Who else would we want to follow? We want to follow the gods of this world. We want to follow our own hearts. It still gets us in trouble. Our own hearts, the remaining sin, the wickedness in our own heart still causes us to stumble in sin. But we would be totally given over. Apart from Christ, we're totally given over to darkness, to the darkness that's within us. So if the darkness is within you, Jesus said, it's darkness indeed. It's like the blackness of darkness, the outer darkness. When Jesus, two incidents where there was complete darkness, darker than dark. One was mentioned at the time of the Passover, that plague was darkness. Israelites had the light. The rest, the Egyptians, had the darkness that could be felt. I don't know, I've never been in that, probably nobody here has probably ever been in darkness that can be felt so thick. You know, one pastor, Bill Hughes, related the fact he was from Wales, and he would go occasionally to identify with the people of his town and his church, would go to the coal mines and go down, and you're down and going down, down, and with only this little light. And the guy, his guide, would said, okay, now do you want to really understand darkness? And he said, yes. He says, well, flip off your light. And he did. And that was a darkness that could be felt. It's darker because there's always some light around. There's always the light and, you know, the stars, the moon, the building, all this artificial light. We don't experience true darkness. The other time was on the cross. For 3 hours, the whole world was plunged into darkness that could be felt, that was horrifying. It's the time when the wrath of God was being poured out upon Christ, the full and unmitigated wrath of God that Christ alone could bear and did bear for 3 hours. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? 3 hours of utter darkness. And the people standing there didn't know if the light was going to come on again. They didn't know, but it did. It did. Sun came out again. But in that meantime, Christ was bearing the wrath of God for us. In my place, condemned he stood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. He that follows Christ shall not walk in darkness, Ryle says. He shall not be left in ignorance like the many around him. He shall not grope in doubt and uncertainty, but shall see the way to heaven and know where he is going. He shall have the light of life. He shall feel within him the light of God's countenance shining on him. He shall find in his countenance an understanding, in his conscience an understanding, a living light that nothing can altogether quench. There's times when it's dim. It's almost been snuffed out, but you know what? Christ never allows it to go out. Bruised reed he won't crush, and a smoking flax he won't quench. He'll stir it up. He'll blow on it. He'll put the oil on it, and it'll revive us again, because he ever lives to intercede for us. He won't be altogether quenched. The lights with which many please themselves shall go out in the valley of the shadow of death. Think about that. Light that so many in this world please themselves with shall go out at the moment of death, and then darkness forever. Prove worse than useless. But the light that Christ gives to everyone that follows him shall never fail. Never, no, never fail. That's encouraging. Right? Isn't that encouraging? That we have the light of life. We follow Christ by all by his grace. But we will be with him one day. There'll be no need of light in heaven. That's what it says in Revelation, book of that John wrote again, speaking about so much about Christ. And in Revelation 21, read about that. And now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no sea. John saw the holy city coming down out of the holy city. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be their God." In verse 22, "But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty, the Lamb, are its temple." The Lord God and the Lamb are its temple. "The city had no need of the sun, nor of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it, and the Lamb is its light." The Lamb of God is the light of the new heaven and new earth of glory. No need of any other lights. "And those nations of those who have saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it." But that light is Christ, and it's the light we need. If we're here tonight apart from Christ, we're most definitely and most certainly in darkness. Nothing you can do about it. You need to cry out to God to open your blind eyes and to shine his light into your heart. I hope, young people, you know you're in darkness. Nothing is going to break that darkness apart from Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. For us that are in Christ, we need to rejoice in the fact that we can say, and one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 27, starts off, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." And makes all the difference in the world. It's not the Lord is the light or a light and a salvation or the only salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And that is a rejoicing to our hearts. We need to think of it more. Rejoice in that light. Rejoice in the light of the Lord. And we'll be rejoicing and basking in his light forever and ever and ever in eternity. Are we walking in the light? Are we walking today, right tonight, this very day, as children of the light? And we can certainly fall back into a lot of darkness and a lot of dark things. We need to set our minds and look to Christ and look to the Lamb of God. Look to him to be walking as children of the light. We're walking as we should walk, following the Lamb, following after his example by his grace and power. And then we can bring glory. We can shine as lights to the world. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world," speaking of us as people. It's the only light the world has. It's the Word of God and us bringing that light to those who are lost and in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word and how dark our minds and hearts would be apart from your grace and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit who illuminates that Word and shows us the glory of Christ. We thank you for salvation in him. And we just pray that the statement of the Lord Jesus, "I am the light of the world," will continue to make us joyful and careful in our walk. And Father, we would pray that it would more and more. We thank you for your goodness and your Word, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.